This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Some call him genius, legend, ladies' man, the best to ever observe the game. We want to keep him humble. So we call him Sean. This is Keeling Me Softly with Denver Post columnist Sean Keeler.
Wow, look at that, man. We must have had a good month here. The production upgrade is obvious. Joining me now for Keeling Me Softly, the one and only Sean Keeler with the Denver Post. How about that, Sean? How about that?
I blew your whole production budget for the year.
Oh, on that segment. It's gone. Yeah, it's gone.
The Michael Bay treatment. I thank you. So can you send that to my wife?
Yes.
She won't believe anything in that intro.
Michael?
Not a bit.
Michael, send that to me, please, and I will send
not
it to Sean.
Not even the ladies man part?
Definitely not the ladies man part. She would laugh. She's going to laugh so hard. I don't think she's going to look at me. She hasn't looked at me in a straight face anyway. But you have you've given me something for a good dessert talk right there, my friend. That's very kind. Well done.
Sean Keeler, of course, joining us. Hey, Sean, you're a bearded man, right?
I am.
Yeah.
Still got a playoff beard, even though there's no playoffs.
Do you? And now, of course, my beard is getting, hey, we're getting close. Six more games, and the Rockies are done with the 30-30, and I can shave.
Yes.
But I'm, I think they, if they win tonight, great. But it might be a couple more weeks still, I'm thinking. Beard oil, like that kind of thing, is that something that I should look into, or is that something you know anything about? Can you help me out there?
I look like Maxi Minor, so literally, or someone once described my aesthetic during the playoffs as chic homeless man. So I've never used oil. I barely clean it. I've got birds growing in the thing. It's just I have the most Colorado whiskers as Colorado can have. So I think you got to go all natural.
Hey, another question before we get into real stuff here. I can't stop messing with it. I just sit there and I pick at it and then I stroke it. It's driving me crazy. My wife has to act. We'll be watching TV and she just says, beard, please, because I'm just sitting there pulling at it. How do you do that, Sean? How do you keep from messing with the beard?
I gotta be honest with you. FCC rules do not allow me to discuss my stroking. I don't think anyone should be doing that.
I knew it was either going to be you or Michael that did something like that. That responded in that way. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed, Sean.
You teed it up. The White Sox are winning. I'm happy. Let's go.
All right, Sean, my friend. A lot of people wanted the coach gone, but instead the general manager is gone for the Colorado Avalanche. Crazy day yesterday. Crazy week.
Yeah, we've gotten whispers it was coming. They've been talking. And when, basically when Elliot Friedman gets hold of something, it starts to take on legs really fast. That's been in the works for a while. So it was just a matter of how much money they were going to put on the table in the case of Nashville and how quickly it was going to happen. Boy, it happened fast, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
They closed the deal with that dinner, I guess, Monday night in Nashville. And that's because we were wondering what was taking so long to have the end-of-season presser. There were two reasons. One, more family-related with Joe Sakic and friend-related with Joe Sakic. And then we were waiting on Chris. And I think they were waiting to see how this played out. And in the interim, it's played out where he's gone. So, yeah, it's not the one you had on your bingo card 10 days ago of, like, who's not going to show up for the presser. I'm going to throw you another one. I wouldn't be shocked. I might be surprised. I wouldn't be shocked if early next week we've got a Joe Sakic presser in and around a Jared Bednar extension. How crazy is that?
I was actually talking about it. Yeah.
You go, well, if it's not going this way, he's in a lame – the only thing that's of certainty is he's in a lame duck year. And teams and agents and coaches don't like lame duck years. So you're not, so your Rubicon to cross was now. And I think it was last year, because last year I wrote the, we've all written the fire Jared Bednar column by now, hire David Carl. I mean, David Carl could wallpaper a room with the amount of fire Jared Bednar hired David Carl copy that's come out of various Denver newspapers and Colorado Springs newspapers in the last 18 to 20 months. But it's not happening. So I think that's a strange course. You talk about the multiverse, that we're going down this path, but I could see a short year, 2 to 3 year extension to say, let's keep kicking the window, let's kick the can down the road a little bit and see what we've got in the window, and then in 2 years, they're going to have probably, you would think, a new GM, at least maybe by the end of this year, you'd have a new GM, whether that's Andrew Cagliano, whoever, and then that guy's got to make a coaching decision. But I think Joe, I'd be surprised. Don't hold me to this radio audience while you're stroking your beard. I'm not sure. The next coach will be Joe Sakic's decision to make, but it won't be alone. And I think it's going to be a real interesting mark on who the next GM, full-time GM, is that way. And I could be wrong. I don't see Joe rocking that boat right now. But, I mean, forever? No. But, again, yeah, in a walk year, I think it'd be more likely to extend him for 2 more years than to, you know, suddenly fire him tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree with you on that 100%. On the Chris McFarland thing, what was it specifically in Nashville? Was it obviously his role is not just general manager. Was it president of operations?
Yeah, he's the guy. He's the guy.
So I had made this comparison. I said, this is kind of like the Tim Connelly thing. And, of course, at Avs fans are like, this is nothing like that. Joe Sakic is God. Even though after every hockey post I ever put, Sean, I write hashtag hockey guy, and nobody really seems to follow the rules. Obviously, I know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of similarities. Connelly didn't necessarily get more power, but he got more money, and he's elevated, you know, whatever role with Minnesota. It's very similar.
Yeah, it is. The more money thing is the thing, because unfortunately, because this applies to the Nuggets too, the KSC narrative is there is an invisible, there's an unwritten salary cap in the minds of Stan and Josh Kroenke with their coaches, their general managers, their staffs, and their front offices. And if you cross it, I think everybody kind of, although I didn't the Predators president say the Avs didn't make it easy? Yeah.
It was kind of like, no, wait, don't go.
Yeah, you know, Toronto didn't make it easy with two Nuggets GMs ago. The Wolves didn't make it easy. Yeah, they do. It's not an industry secret anymore that the Kroenkes don't pay for big money coaches and big money GMs. They don't. Joe Sakic is a unicorn in himself, right? Like he could have obviously, as the legend goes, he could have left the franchise on a number of occasions, but this is his baby. He is the Elway. He is the Jokic of the Avs. And so he feels as much a familial responsibility as he does a company one to this. So, but most teams don't. And Chris McFarland's most employees don't, and Chris McFarland certainly didn't, and it's a good opportunity for him. I think his legacy is complicated. You kind of had two reactions yesterday of that's not the guy they should have let walk. And yeah, I get that argument, and that's true. B, how much good did he do? And we don't know the ratio from behind the scenes of everything that was built prior to 2022. To getting that title, just Joe was the GM, he was his right-hand man, and then the weird arrangement of the last 4.5 years where Joe was his boss, but he had more day-to-day, and yet Joe had to sign off on probably the biggest stuff. That's always, again, speaking as a White Sox fan, that's kind of, those are always tricky, unless you really, really know, at least from the outside perspective, where the delineation of those power triangles or power duangles, whatever you want to call them, where that goes, where you've got somebody who's in that job and has historically been good in that job and has the kind of respect and gravitas that Joe Sakic has. So whoever is the next guy, again, if it's Cogliano, whomever, with Joe being there, it's kind of like Elway being there. I mean, are you really, really in charge? I don't know. So, I mean, that's a thing down the line, and that's going to be a consideration for whoever takes his job, which they'll probably fill internally because it's KSC.
Yeah. Now, Sean Keeler joining us, Denver Post. The Jared Bednar stuff is fascinating, too, going back to that. Because it would be, you know, a lot of what you're hearing is, oh, Chris McFarland's gone. That's okay. We have Joe Sakic. And like you just outlined, we don't necessarily know. I mean, maybe it was more Joe Sakic than Chris. Maybe. But it would be kind of hilarious if Joe's the one that comes out and says, yeah, we're giving Jared Bednar a contract extension. All those people that are like, no, worry, we have Joe. Because I would imagine it's the same people that are like, get rid of Jared Bednar. That would be must-see television right there.
I have heard from the last 18 to 20 months so much. It's hard to find a middle. Just we joke, it's hard to find a middle ground on Deion Sanders. It's getting harder to find a middle ground on Jared Bednar.
Yeah.
And those are two guys that could not be completely more different, right? Like, literally. And one guy has been infinitely more successful in the case of Bednar as a coach than Coach Prime has, frankly, to this point. And, oh, look at my record, Jackson. Fine. Anyway, not to go down that rabbit hole, but Bednar, it's sort of like, we joked about having a goalie away and a goalie at home, and maybe you start Blackwood away. I've decided now, because both these, it's one of those huge logical leaps where two completely discordant things can be true. Jared Bednar is the winningest coach in franchise history. It's done an excellent job in his decade. The regular seasons have been epic and unforgettable. You know, they've got two President's Trophies in that time, yada, yada, yada. And, yeah, and they won a Stanley Cup, which is hard to do and can be very random and very weird. But they've only done it once in 10 years with 2 to 3 Hall of Famers on their roster. Both those things can be true. So I've decided what the Avs need to do is let Jared coach the regular season and then, like, loan in Pete DeBoer or somebody else for the postseason. And then figure out a way to activate Jared again come the next August. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a joke. It's not something that happens. But that's the thing with him in the postseason is all the stuff that works. Clip this one. He might be the Marty Natchez of coaches. I think that's an 100-point scorer. This is an excellent 81-game player. This is an excellent 81-game coach who may not be cut out for the different rules and the different template that you have to have in the playoffs. And we say that knowing that he's got a ring. I think we say that wondering if that may be the only one he gets with this franchise. So I guess both those things can be true. And I guess you can say we'd rather live with a guy who's going to win us 50 to 55 games a year and we'll take our chances in the playoffs. I think they've decided that. And I think we all just keep yelling at them and waving our fists at them. I wonder if they've just decided that's what we are. We are the 90s Braves of hockey. We're good with that. We got our ring. We managed to beat the system enough once and got fortunate. You want to say lucky, but there's luck. Puck luck is a thing. We got fortunate enough once for as talented as we were to be as good as we're going to be over 10 to 12 years, maybe longer. You know, again, I think every window's open as long as Cale Makar is here and healthy and wants to go. So that's 27. That's like another 5-6 years. So you have this massive window open that may have a lot of 50-win seasons and may have another President's Trophy, but may only have one Stanley Cup. But I guess it's up to the fan base and it's up to KSC to decide if that's acceptable, if that's good. And I think they've decided. I think KSC, I think the fan base is still a little divided, although I get so many pro Bednar emails, it's kind of not funny. But I think KSC has decided, yeah, Bobby Cox Braves, that's good enough. That's what we are.
Does it help stave off any of the criticism watching, like, Las Vegas winning last night? Does that help at all? I've always wondered that for some fans that are just so far out where it's like, yeah, you ran into a team that they made a crazy move at the end of the year and it's paid off. They caught fire. Yeah. And how much does that change your view?
I, I, I mean, I have to be objective. I'm not. I obviously not growing up here and not being a fan. That's a better question for you and your crew. I don't know. I mean, if my rival, you know, White Sox fan, if the Twins win the World Series, would I feel better about that? No. I mean, I'm still going to hate who I hate. So I can't answer that as well as you could. You tell me.
I mean, I think it does help,
it'll make Joe, and I'll tell you what, it'll make Sakic and Jerry justify it. They'll run right to that. Go, look, we're into the hottest team on the planet.
Yeah.
And like they, I think they've already said it was a buzzsaw, and we were not ready for the buzzsaw, admittedly, and we were hurt. It was a perfect storm of bad all at once. I think they're rooting for Vegas like crazy. It helps their narrative a ton.
Yeah, I'm not like 100% like, oh, Jared Bednar's the guy. I think I look at more of the contract. Like, you got 1 year left. And again, that also makes it more complicated because you don't want to do the lame duck thing, which you talked about to start the segment. But I am kind of more in that camp of if Las Vegas goes on and wins the cup, then I look at it and say, man, you're right there. You had the special season. You just happened to run into a team that maybe figured it all out at the right time. They peaked. Who knows how good they'll actually be next year, but they hit that peak. That was the hope for the Nuggets last year, was that, hey, we fire Malone and we hire Adelman, and there's some kind of new aura around the team, and they carry it on.
Dead cat bounce. Yeah, you get that dead cat bounce. For too much is a theory, and in a playoffs there is hardness random. The NHL is more random than the NBA's are, but I think that's an applicable theory in both cases. I think the thing, and I got into this in the column you could read now at DenverPost.com.
It's great stuff.
Tell your friends. It's there. It should be up there somewhere online. But yeah, it's the other thing is, and there's a point that we've talked about on air, and I raised it again, is at this point right now, if you fired Bednar tomorrow, who are you going to get that's better? Like, you'll get a lot of people who are different.
Right.
You get a lot of voices that are louder or more unique or more, maybe have a better power play. Knock on wood, it'd be hard. But who are you going to get who's better? And the problem I keep running into, because I go back and forth with this, because we do all the knee-jerk reactions, they get eliminated. Last year, I think, was still more painful than this one. I mean, that's a great debate, which hurt more, given that you got farther. I've come around to last year hurting more because of the way it happened in Game 7 with Mikko's involvement, and it was kind of a Greek tragedy in kind of a sports way, how that all kind of to a Christopher Nolan movie got twisted weird. Or M. Night Shyamalan, it just got twisted.
Mm-hmm.
This was dark in different ways, but almost kind of more unexpected. Like, what the hell? How did this? Especially because it went so fast, and they were, you know, 8-1 in those first 9 games, and then just hit a wall. Other than David Carl, who by all accounts is not just not looking at the Avs, but not looking at the NHL period right now, for a multitude of very valid reasons, or Bruce Cassidy, who's being locked up in a dungeon literally by the Knights and not allowed to touch anybody, who's literally the best coach out there and has a title to his name. If it's not one of those two guys, who's better? Like, who's better than Bednar right now? And I think it's nobody. And that's the other problem. Or in the case of Joe, the defense of why he'd be back.
Yeah, no, great. Well said, Sean. Excellent work by you again in the Denver Post. We're up against it, my friend, and we'll, as always, look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right, thanks for the intro. Enjoy your beard.
All right, my friend. Six more to go. Keeling Me Softly with Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. 42 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.